Now, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not despise one another except with consent. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married I command you, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, why he says that is, of course, because Jesus actually didn't say this, but Paul is, on the authority of the Holy Spirit, saying it. If any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is slave to Jesus. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on even those who have wives should be as though they had none, those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. For if any man thinks he is behaving improperly towards the virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and is so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, but he who does not give her in marriage does better. A wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. This is the Word of God. And, of course, that is quite a difficult and challenging chapter for us all. But Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, we read in verse 1, and it would be helpful for us all, I guess, if we did a verse-by-verse exposition of this chapter. I don't intend doing that, A, because I don't believe it's appropriate for today, and B, I believe there is something that the Lord would have me share with us this morning. But clearly, Paul is responding to questions. He has just been dealing with the situation in Chloe's household. Now he's dealing with questions that they had proposed to him. Now, there were two very extreme positions which had taken hold in the church at Corinth, to whom this was originally addressed to. There were two extreme positions. One was hedonistic. In other words, that group said that, okay, you can only sin in your body and it makes no difference to your spiritual life. So in other words, you can do what you like, sexually or whatever, it won't harm your spirit. It won't harm your spiritual life, your walk with the Lord, because the physical and the spiritual is separate. That was the hedonistic group. The other group believed that all things that are spiritual are good and all things physical are bad, are wrong. So in other words, if you're going to please the Lord, all of you have got to remain celibate, because you will be sinning if you even within the marriage have sex. That was basically the two extremes that Paul was seeking to address. And that's why he said it is good for a man not to touch a woman. And he has to deal with that in quite a lengthy exposition. Paul explains that marriage is good. He also explains that celibacy isn't for everybody, and it is a gift. Now, last week we mentioned, we reread and referred to Genesis chapter 3, where it says that hey, it's not good for man to be alone, and God has provided a helpmeet for man, and that they should cleave together. They become one flesh. And we emphasize the fact that the sexual relationship should only ever be within the marriage. Anything outside of marriage is lust, fornication, sin. Well, this morning, God is so merciful, because today I want to just talk for a little while, as God may help me, on singleness. Now, I'm aware, dear friends, that those of us who may be single now perhaps didn't choose to be. We don't necessarily, not all of us, see it as a gift. Not all of us may see it as a gift. And some of us have had choices to make now. I'm aware, as I speak, that there will be those here and who will be listening to this sermon who perhaps have been in a warm and loving relationship, but it may have gone pear-shaped totally pear-shaped. And now you're not in that relationship. You may have regrets, you may have hurts. I pray that because God is so merciful, that although scars may have remained, you will have known, and even know today, that peace of God. That peace which passeth all understanding. But although you may have not have chosen that pathway, nothing has happened beyond and outside God's sovereignty, the bounds of his sovereignty. And what he wants more than anything is that you to know that reconciliation with God and also that forgiveness. Sometimes we need to forgive others as well. God is merciful. He is our gracious high priest. And although you may have gone through perhaps harrowing experiences, you may have been single, got engaged, and almost at the last moment, dumped. That hurts. And now you're single. You haven't perhaps chosen it. But what we're talking about is choices that we can still live for the glory of God. We can still have his peace. We can still have his direction in our lives. God is perfectly able. He's our sympathetic high priest. You are still a complete person. You are still complete in Christ Jesus. For others, they are called to celibacy. And there may be single people here or who are listening who have been called to spend their life as celibate, and so that they can give themselves more especially to the work of Jesus Christ. At times you will be tempted. God is able to succor those who are being tempted and to deliver you from your temptations. Sometimes you may wish it were not so. As I say, let me be honest, I did not choose to be widowed. I did not choose it. I would far rather it not have happened. I will be honest with you. But then I had a choice to make. Do I spend the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years self-pitying, or do I find out what Christ wants for my life? And he can sanctify even the pain, the hurt. Some of you have gone through far worse traumatic experiences. God is merciful. God wants you to look up to him so that our lives are those which have been called by him. We have been called for a purpose, and that we reflect something of the grace and the love and the fellowship, the forgiveness, the peace, the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though life can be challenging and difficult at times. So how can we be single yet satisfied? Of course, nothing happens beyond God's sovereignty. Paul here says, I wish that every man was like I am, Paul is saying. Verse 7, for I wish that all men were even as I myself. Paul was a bachelor, he never married. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. Paul is saying there are some very distinct advantages for being single. There are some distinct advantages. Not the least, Paul is saying, that we can focus more on Jesus Christ and ministry. Paul is saying this. But I'm also aware that being single, having a single lifestyle, whether we're very young, middle-aged, or getting on, being single can produce in us a very self-centered lifestyle. That's a danger, a real danger. Because of that, it carries with it a tendency for the single person to become self-involved, looking in, navel gaze, and even depressed. I think it takes special effort, and it takes a reliance also on the grace of the Lord for the single person to look beyond himself, particularly if there's baggage in the past, to look beyond himself as to how he can devote himself to the Lord and serving others. But it is a necessary thing to do. And the scriptures say that is it's intrinsic to living a fulfilled, satisfied life. And those who are single, God would have us to devote ourselves to him, to walk with him, to follow in his footsteps. After all, Jesus never married. He was a bachelor. And so it will go well with us. So perhaps some of us need to just thank God that, well, we are as we are. So there are, as the Apostle Paul says, some satisfaction to being single. We are to learn contentment, but that's for all people, whether you're single, married, or whatever. As the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. Verse 17. That's contentment. We need to ask God. You see, marriage is not the ultimate will for God, of God for everyone. It's not. Marriage, as part of this world in its present form, is passing away. So it cannot be the ultimate will of God. It's helpful for many. Praise God. It's good. It's honorable. But Jesus himself said that marriage wouldn't be there in heaven. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. That's Matthew 22. You see, the ultimate will of God for us, whatever our present position, whether we're single, if we are divorced, widowed, whether we're married, whether we are childless or have 105 children and 200 grandchildren, the ultimate will of God for us, for you and for me, is that we become more like Christ. That's God's will, that we reflect something of the image of the glory of Jesus. Scriptures allude to that for all of us. We think of the one in Romans chapter 8. For those God foreknew, he predestined to be conformed in the likeness of his Son. That's for you. If you're a believer, if you're a Christ follower, God's purpose is that you become conformed, that I become conformed to the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God, we have his Holy Spirit. He's at work in us. Jesus himself says in the Gospel, in Matthew chapter 19, that some choose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. I paraphrase that. For the sake of the kingdom of heaven, some choose not to marry. So here in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians, why would Paul in this chapter think that being single like him was such a good thing? Well, firstly, Paul knew that he was a complete person in God. There was nothing funny because he was single. We can put pressure on young people. We can put pressure on separated people, widowed people. Why aren't you married? It's about time. Hang on. What is God's will? What is God? We can put pressure on young people particularly. And if you're not married by the time 30 or 35, well, there's got to be... Perhaps he's homosexual, she's a lesbian. What pressure? What is God's will? Some of us just need to enjoy what God has prepared for us and be content. And when we're struggling, when we perhaps have got jealousy, almost a covetous spirit, wish I was like them, or why did this? May God just stir up within us something of his love, something of his grace, and just, yeah, pour it out to him. When it's hurting, tell God. can give you the grace and you can give me the grace to help us in our time of need so that we don't wallow in self-pity and that we don't let jealousy or bitterness take a grip in our lives. Paul says that, don't forget, this is the batchelor of Paul, who has been not only, you know, he's rejoicing because he's recognized this is a gift from God. He's not only rejoicing in his singleness because he can devote himself to the Lord, but he's also been rejoicing in his persecution. He's rejoicing when he's got shipwrecked. He's rejoicing when all men are saying horrible things against him because he's learnt the secret of being content. Not that I speak from want, he says, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. That's Philippians. Wow. I want that heart, don't you? Whether you're married, whether you're single. We often lose our contentment, don't we? We can get discontent. We can become worldly in our thinking. Jealousy. See, this is a very practical book. This is a book, friends, it not only is the living word, it leads us to Christ, it leads us to freedom from our sins, it gives us hope that it's going to get one day not just better, but it's going to be unbelievably beyond what we can imagine or think here below. You know, perfection will come. And hey, we'll be like him. So it not only gives us an assurance that we can walk through this life with Christ and be standing on the rock, that whatever circumstances may come, we can still stand because of our faith and our trust in him, but that it does get better. See, the Lord is looking for us a willingness to yield to him, to respond to him. This is a very practical book. I've spoken about jealousy. Hey, all of us from time to time jealous. If we're married, we can sometimes be even jealous of our husband's or our wife's gifting. James says, well, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing, I think it says. Every evil work or something. That's in James anyway. I've also mentioned that we can get discontented through self-pity. Through blame. But you see, Paul, this is this man who's suffering for his faith, yet he's rejoicing. He counts it a pleasure to suffer with Christ because he knows he's resurrected with him. And he knows that all things else are dung, they're dross, they're passing away. But his hope in Jesus is firm and sure. He says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. If you're single, you can do all things that God wants for you, that God purposes for you, that you set your heart and mind to. In the Lord, you can do all things. If you're married, you can do all things. If you're going through a marriage and your marriage is sort of a bit flaky, you're having trouble. Some of the spark, some of the romance has disappeared. You're seeing wrong in your partner rather than good. God knows, God understands. Tell him how it is. But then seek God's help to change you rather than your partner and then see the difference. Begin with me, Lord. We said last week that in God's eyes, marriage is permanent, and so he wants yours to be a success. And yes, your calling is still not just to your married partner, but your calling is to Jesus. That's your highest calling. If you're single, you can perhaps devote more of your life to him. Because you don't have, perhaps, you know, persecution is coming. Big trouble is maybe coming. We don't know if you and I, we will go through it. But what Paul is saying is that if you're single and persecution comes, really comes knocking on your door, you know, you won't perhaps have so many family responsibilities that could hinder, that could get in the way. You're freer. That's what Paul is saying, basically, and in other passages. But even when you're married, your calling is still to serve Jesus, to put him first, to be obedient to him. We spoke on, I don't know whether it was the Sunday before Christmas or whatever, on the almost conflicting reports that here we have Jesus, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. He is peace. We can know his peace. Even when there's turbulation outside and within, we can still know his supernatural peace that passes all understanding. But you see, in the Gospels he says, hey guys, do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? Yucks, if you're going to be a follower of me, whether you're married, single, whatever your stage, there's going to be conflict. Dad against son, mum against daughter, brother against sister, even perhaps husband against wife. Because of your stand for Christ, and you know that it's part of the form which is passing away. But eternity beckons, and we want to be following him wholeheartedly. Others may not recognize or think you're just a fundamentalist, fanatical. But no, your first loyalty is to Jesus. That's not that you're despising your family. Christ says some hard words, doesn't he? That, you know, it's almost as if you've got to hate them for the sake of the kingdom. It means that you've got to put Christ first. And there may be conflict. But lo, I'm with you. I am with you. Far rather to face Christ at the judgment seat saying, Lord, I know I mucked up big time at times. I know I failed you. I failed my loved ones at times. But I thank you for the precious blood of Christ that cleanses me from all sin. I sought, Lord, to be obedient to you. And he will say, yes, my child. My blood cleanses, my blood covers. Far rather that than say, Lord, I counted my life too much. I wasn't prepared to die to self or offend my family for your sake. I don't want to be in that position. I'm sure you don't either. So now is preparation time, dear friends. God is our helper. He's our sufficiency. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Friends, whatever has brought you to be single now, try not to be ashamed of it. Sometimes it's pressure, people put on pressure. Do you know, I remember at school, back a few years, and I picked teams, two teams, and you'll be standing there thinking, oh, I don't want to be last. And, you know, you don't want to be last for the games, for the PE. And then, yeah, they pick on you last and you feel all embarrassed and think, oh, I'm hopeless, no good. It probably isn't true or not, probably not true, but that's the mentality. And we can sometimes think like that as single, as if we're second best. Not in God's sight. Whatever your circumstances, God knows he undertakes. He wants the best for you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. He wants the best, whether you're single, whether you're married, and whatever has brought you to this present point. Say, God, you know all things. I can trust you. So, commitment. See, that's what basically the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saying is, he said, I want you to be committed. Whether you're single or married, be committed. Be committed to your spouse. Be committed to your husband. Be committed to your wife. Be committed to your children. Be committed. Be loyal. Be faithful. If you sin against them, you sin against me, the Lord says. And there will be judgment. You know, I open up by the hedonistic people who say that, hey, you know, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, he says, what? Because of God's grace, shall we go on to sin? Shall we just live carelessly? Because we know he's a gracious God? God forbid! No way, as a believer, you've got a higher calling than that. You know that you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Don't trample on his blood. Don't kick the cross to the ground. Live pure, righteous lives. If we sin, hey, if you're a believer, you're my body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't sin against your body. Keep yourselves pure. So what you do in the body does affect your life with Christ. And it can so easily affect detrimentally the lives of others. All of us need to pursue God. The single may have less distractions, but there's only one ultimate destination for life. Whether we're single or married, we should be single-minded about God. We should be single-minded about God. All of us need to watch our moods. Verse 30 says something about that. We need to watch that we don't become materialistic in our lifestyle, our motives. What has our attention? What has our affection? What has our attraction? What is attracted to us? Also, be cautious. If you're looking, if you're in the position that you can look for a partner, if you're looking to date, and you know you're 16 plus and your parents are saying, yep, okay, now you've got to an age. What verse is it? There's some practical words, very practical words here. Verse 39. Do it in the Lord. Do it in the Lord. In other words, don't date. Don't look for a partner who is not a believer. Do it in the Lord. This is written to the church. We've been called out of the world. We live by God's rule and not our own. The world is continually going down, you know, down the slippery slope of doing their own thing. No absolutes, no control. Do your own thing. Do whatever seems good to you. That's what I was. That's who I was. But I've been taken out of that kingdom, which is the kingdom of lies, the kingdom of darkness. Have you brought in the kingdom of light? Have you? Then let's do it God's way. And whatever challenge we may have is the best way. And we will know blessing. We will know blessing. This is what Jesus is saying. You see, if we don't do it our way, if we don't do it God's way and do it our way, we will be judged, either in this life or in eternity. But if we do it God's way and he pleased with us to commit it all to him, he wants to be part of our lives 100%. He wants us to be devoted, yielded to him. If we do it his way, although we may be scorned and mocked by the world, we're going to be blessed. We're going to prosper in Jesus. That's God's grace to us. Can't you praise him for it? Can't you praise him for it? Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. Sanctify yourselves, sanctify your mind, sanctify your bodies in Jesus Christ. And if you're thinking about going out with somebody seriously, do it in the Lord and ask yourself this question. Is this person going to complement me and my pursuit of Jesus and his will? Or will it hinder? Will it pull me back? Because if you're not devoted, seeking to be devoted to Jesus in your singleness, it will probably spell trouble if you got married. Because, you know, basically what Paul is saying is that you'll be so then concerned about your husband or your wife that just takes precedence over everything. And you know, your love for the Lord your ardor for Jesus, for worship, for ministry, will diminish. May God help you, may God help me, to be single-minded for God now. And God is concerned about us. He's concerned about our relationships. What would we be like? What would 2010? How would we influence our circle of friends if we purpose to be single-minded for the Lord? What would it be change us who are single if we could see it now as God's gift from God, God's gift to us, even if it has been for a season? Let us continue to pursue God's standards for relationships. Remember, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. But what would it be if you really, and if I really, really, really get single-minded about God, regardless of whether we're married or not? If Christ becomes all and in all, then I don't think we'll be lonely much. You see, loneliness is not peculiar for singles. It has to do with relationship. A person can be married and still lonely, and another person would be single and not lonely. People are lonely when they're out of relationship. And the greatest gift of all is that we can know the joy of a relationship with the Lord. Be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And if we know that we're loved by God, if we know that we're loved by God, that we've been called according to his purpose, that he loved us, even when he knew the mire that we might sink down into, he still loved us. He gave himself for us. When we know we are loved, we can show that love to others and be content in all circumstances. Hey, folks, we won't have all of the answers to life's questions here below. What we need to know, we'll be told in eternity. But let's live for Christ and his glory. And when you're struggling, commit it to him, and he will help you. Amen. Lord, I pray that you will help each and every one of us to truly live our lives for the glory of Jesus. Lord, you know, even as I'm acutely aware, Lord, that there will be pain in people's hearts and lives, even who have listened to this sermon. There will be, Lord, embarrassments. There will be regrets. There will be hurts. There will be the if onlys. But Lord, I pray you will satisfy them all, each with yourself even now. And that we will purpose in our hearts to live for you. That we will be set free from jealousy and bitterness, or wrong thoughts about us, others, or yourself. But that we will learn to be content. Lord, thank you that you are with us in our struggles. It's an amazing thing, Lord. This is something I confess I don't get my head around totally, Lord. But you say that Christ was in all points tempted like we are, yet he didn't sin. And that's why he's able to help us when we are tempted. And Lord, those who are single at times, their passions may burn up. Will you help us, Lord, to just die to that, crucify that, resist? That we will live pure lives for you, for those who are married as well, that they keep themselves fully devoted to their loved ones and bring glory to you. Lord, we thank you, you're so merciful. We thank you, you do want your best for us. If we need, even this morning, Lord, and those who listen, who need to change their mindset about their circumstances, be very gracious, Lord, and help us. Help us to be willing so that we can live for you and be a people who can be prophetic in these last days to those around us. That we can show how we can be whole and single, whole and married. Lord, keep us.